Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for this day that we set aside to celebrate those who mean so much to us, those who have meant so much to us. Thank you for a day that we can remind ourselves that we didn't get here by ourselves, by our own strength. Someone stepped in. Someone cared for us. Someone loved us. And I know they get that from you. And we pray, Lord, that we would continue to find our strength, our power in you. That we would find our hope in you, our peace in you. That you would help us to follow you. Help us to serve you. Help us in loving others. We surrender this to you. We give you again all the thanks and all the praise. Lift up those that need to know this moment, this day, that you love them. You care about them. Encourage them, Lord, we pray. Now guide our hearts and our minds. Help us to be open and receptive to your word, to your message. Lord, have your way, we pray. In your name, amen. If you will, we turn to John chapter 17. This is, if you will, a discourse. Jesus is explaining so much to them. His time is drawing near. Jesus is trying to help them know this is some of our last moments we're going to be together. This is it. In this time, in this space-time continuum, this here right now. Don't miss a word. And so I just pull out a couple verses, but they're so important. This is probably one of the most, I would say, serious prayers Jesus gives in all of Scripture. And this is part of it. He says this, he's praying to, obviously, his Father. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. This is the word of the Lord. Some of you are not expecting that was really short. Wait a minute, what's going on? But the reality is this, that the Lord is wanting his people to know something very, very special here. I've been talking to you, if you will, or we've been sharing a lot about holiness and being holy and what that looks like. That holiness is not just about people, again, that wear the nice fancy robes and have the colorful stoles. Holiness isn't just about people that are all religious. Holiness, at its essence, means to be set apart. Set apart. Now, holiness, again, is fundamentally about the presence of God being restored in our lives and in this world. Let me say that again. The presence of God being restored in our world and in us. Now, what is God's part in this? I mean, we come to services on Sunday and hopefully we're encouraged. I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that you're empowered, you're restored, you're equipped even. I pray that you find that there's a place for God's people to come and to be gathered together and be encouraged. But that stuff we do. Where's God in this? What did he do to get us to this point? How do we rely on him? See, God's part has been done and is still happening, if you will. God's part started when Jesus entered into history, if you will. When Jesus is talking about this, he's like, I've taken care of them. His prayer before this, I've walked with them, I've served them, I've kept them. And now, Lord, as my time draws near, I want you to keep them. I want you to protect them. I want you to empower them. I've helped them to realize that they're set apart, that they're sanctified, as if you will, this text said, to sanctify them, to help them to be holy. Help them to be set apart that they may be your presence in this world. Interesting, because God's part doesn't seem like how do I get that presence? Well, let's go back to first century Judaism, if you will, from the text. Jesus, first century Jew, would have known, would have gone to the temple many, many times. He would have been a part of, if you will, the different celebrations. He would have been a part of the daily activities even at times. And so here he is when he goes to visit, if you will, in Jerusalem, in this, if you will, this Passover week that's about to happen, or that is actually in the presence of that week. Here he is, and they're getting ready to choose, if you will, a lamb that is without any spot, without any blemish, a lamb that's going to represent all of Israel, a lamb that at 3 o'clock on Friday, it's interesting how the text says that, 3 o'clock on Friday, Jesus died. Well, guess what? Traditionally, 3 o'clock was the time that they would kill the lamb. Jesus was that Passover lamb. Jesus was the lamb that was to, if you will, take away the sins, that would wash, that would help all of Israel in their relationship with the Lord. Now, first century Judaism with the temple, there was a thing called the Holy of Holies. It was the one place where God promised, I will dwell here. And the high priest was only once a year allowed to go in there. And it was only after he would take special fuel ceremonies and steps to help him be set apart, to be sanctified, to be holy, so that he could go in there. Every year, once a year. And they would, if you will, have this moment and be reminded of God's faithfulness, of God's promise, that it wasn't about having it all right, it wasn't about having all the right beliefs, it wasn't having it all together, it wasn't about being perfect, it wasn't about playing the game, it wasn't about smiling and waving. It was about a relationship with this God who said, you're my people and I am your God. In that first century temple, Jesus takes it to a whole new way they had never even imagined. He says, sanctify them. Make them holy. Not about the Holy of Holies anymore in the temple. In fact, within a generation of Jesus, the temple was destroyed. They had been talking about previous 150 years, different rabbis, different writings and stuff that we have, that how can people worship, how can Jews at the time follow Yahweh, follow our God, when the temple, without the temple? What if the temple wasn't here? Interesting how God prepared that. Interesting how soon as that happened, the disciples were ready and equipped. Interesting, because if you will, that temple, Holy of Holies, set apart. No more. See, the grand story, again, I've shared before, began with God creating, and it was good. He said it was very good. And then if you find how rebellious humanity was, the story has taken a drastic pivot. That we find quickly in the first few chapters, humanity has been exiled and they're stuck. The presence of God has been lost in that intimate setting. But it's not done there. He doesn't stay there. No, it doesn't just go and that's the end of the story. No, we find that God became the Redeemer and the Restorer. In this grand story, it's about God and his dwelling coming and being restored. Right here, right now even. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, will you turn over your day and say, Lord, help me to be your vessel, your hands and feet. May I be your dwelling. Not because I have it together, not again because I'm playing my part, but because you want the whole world to know about how great you are, about what your son has done. Help me, Lord. Now, if that's a lot to say, I get it. But it might just be one of those of, Lord, take today. Help me to shine for you. But taking your everyday, ordinary life and turning it over to God, it's a great prayer. And how the church is a part of this. The church plays a major part in God's plan. It's God's plan A, plan B, plan C. It is how he wants us to be encouraged, supported, equipped, and then sent out. that we are both, again, a church gathered and scattered, that as we come together, we support, we encourage, we grow, and then we're sent out onto our frontline ministries. Again, I shared with you a couple weeks ago, about 110 hours is the average person that they have outside of church, outside of sleeping. 110 hours, how are you using them? What is God doing through you? Where's your frontline ministry? It may be, again, taking care of your spouse. It may be, again, taking care of your grandchildren. It may be, again, in your career, in your vocation. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be praying for people. There's so many things that we sometimes, I don't do this. I don't do anything special. With God, anything is possible. And this is the part that I don't want you to miss. This part of God's part, I'm not just making this up. This isn't just something I'm kind of picking. Jesus actually prays for all of his followers. Again, even us. At that moment, he's praying for the ones that his disciples, but then he even says later on, he's like, and for those who are going to come to believe in me, that have never met me, have never been a part of what I've been doing, but yet they're going to hear about your work through me, how you sent me into the world. Now I'm sending them. And so this work that he helped begin in those disciples, he's saying, God, now you complete that work. You bring it to fruition. And so it's not just, we're not holy just to, he can shelve us. We're holy because he wants to send us. He wants to send you and I where we're at. He might be sending you to another state, just hypothetically, like Indiana. He might be sending you to be his hands and feet, his light and his love. Now, some of you might have family in Indiana. You're like, great, love to go back. Some of you are like, Indiana? He might be sending you in your neighborhood, your next card outing, your next time you play dominoes or Mexican train. Big fan, by the way. How can you be his hands and his feet? How can you be his light and his love? Not because you have all the answers, please. No one likes a know-it-all. Really? Right? But the reality is just humbly turning it over and saying, Lord, what do you want? Lord, where do you want me to go? How do I need to love who you place in front of me? How do I serve them? The challenge that you and I face is big, because the challenge is not that now we have it all together, now we're going to be able to be perfect on this, but we have really two problems with this, okay? Two problems that being sent out causes. Being called to be his, holy, set apart just for him. How do we do that, right? So these problems are real, because the two problems you'll find, if you haven't found it yet, if you're a follower of the Lord and for a while, you've found one of these problems, if not both of these problems. Ready? There's a sin you can't beat. It's a powerful sin. It just owns you. Eat your lunch. Take your lunch money. You got no chance. The second problem is we have the power we don't have to continue to serve and serve well. The power that we so desperately need to serve well. I guess you could say there's a powerful sin that just owns you. That without God to do another work in you, without God to take more of your heart and just help you to surrender more to him, you just can't do it. You can't overcome it. There's just no time, no power, no way. Then there's this powerless service. And what I mean by that is, again, the service that we're called to go and serve. It's okay. He's just getting a compliment. Great song. Awesome job. Thank you, Dave, by the way. That was a great job, by the way. Because there wasn't a lot to work with. I mean, I'm talking about me, not, you know. But anyway. But this powerless service, it's not about us just trying harder again. It's about us surrendering everything back to him. One of my devotionals this week, I dare people to check it out. Old devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. It is one of those that would just, you're thinking, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about my relationship with the Lord. And you read that and you're like, dear Lord, I need your help big time. It's a humbling, wonderful devotional. Anyways, so I'm reading this devotional again this week. And it says, there are times when you say, Lord, of course I want to follow you. Yes, Lord, I totally want to do what you want to do. But you don't know by me saying yes what it means to my family, or you don't know what it means to my friends, or you don't know what it means to my work. You don't know what it means to my family. And just keep filling the blanks. And the next sentence, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's been times. Oh, I felt that. And he just says in there, he goes, do you know the Lord knows exactly what he's asking of you? You know exactly what he's asking of you. But you're letting that be the reason you say no. So how do we deal with these problems? Because the root cause, again, is our own self-will. It's our choice of not surrendering. It's our choice of not trusting. It's our choice of not really depending on him. And when we can't depend on him, then we don't have that power to overcome sin. We don't have that power to continue to serve and serve well and serve with joy. And so what do? We got to ask this question: who is the boss? That's a basic way to go with it. I'm just laying it out there. The problem that you and I both face: how do we love others well? How do we love the Lord well? Well, who's the boss? Have we truly surrendered everything? Have we taken everything? I find it wonderful that Keith gives me a call yesterday and goes, you know, we have the ascension this last week, 40 days, and I'm a familiar, I got it. he's like, I'd like to say something in front of, for the church. I just don't want to I want to make sure I'm not going to over, I don't want to state anything that you're going to talk about. I said, tell me more what you're talking about. Wonderful. And that one part, Acts 1:9, where he says, you will have power. That you go back, wait for my helper, the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Spirit to come and fill you up. Now, they have already had an amazing work done in them. They have already been blown away that Jesus, because again, dead people stay dead. Just FYI, that's not just a crazy thing today. That was a crazy thing back then. They were not expecting that. Dead people stay dead. So here they are, seeing this dead man now walking and going, wait a minute. He doesn't just send him out there. No, they need a second work. They've seen years of ministry. They've been a part of ministry. They've even been equipped and called to raise the dead in one text. What? But he says, go and wait. Do you need a second work? Do you need a new filling of God's Spirit? We don't ever have to pray, God be with us. Just FYI, you don't have to pray that. God promises he's always with us. We don't always feel it. We don't always have that intimacy, but I do believe we do got to say, Lord, help me. Help us. Help my family. Help us get through this. And this is where we're going to talk about next week, about our part in holiness. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have provided for us well by sending your very Spirit, the Spirit that would only be kept in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Now you have called all of your followers to be set apart and filled with your Spirit so that we may live the life you've called us to live, so that we may be the people you've called us to be, that you have imagined us becoming. Lord, help us, every one of us, Lord. The problems are real. We don't have what it takes to deal with those powerful sins on our own. We need the power to serve and serve well, serve with joy. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us your Spirit. And this prayer that you prayed for your followers, that you prayed for us, may we surrender to it. May we surrender to you as the one true King, as the one who loved us before time, who provided for us and continues to provide for us. May we call out to you when our world comes crumbling down. May we surrender to you when we think everything depends on us, but we need your grace. Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, both that are going to be gathering together, if you will, this next Saturday here at the church, to others in our community and throughout the world. We pray for your people to be your dwelling place, that we would shine not our own light, but reflect your beauty and love, your truth, your justice. And of course, Lord, those prayer concerns that are just so, we so desperately need you to move and act. From children, grab a hold of their hearts, bring healing where healing needs to be had. For family and friends that need to know of your hope. For those of our family that have had physical challenges this last week, we pray your healing and wholeness upon them too. We lift up our government and this world. We pray for humility upon our leaders. We pray for wisdom and favor as well. May they walk in your way and serve your purposes well. Lord, this is not about just what we think we should do, but it's about following your lead and your Son who taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."